All right, best time of the day. Good to say good afternoon. Welcome to hour number four. You're at home with Gary Sullivan as we talk a little home improvement for the next hour. At the bottom of the hour, Jeff Kiefer from the Chimney Care Company, he'll be joining us. Because let's face it, one of the things we're all going to eventually figure out is the price of our utilities have gone up. Natural gas and heating oil, propane, electric to some degree. And a lot of people are going to be more interested in stoves, fireplaces. So we'll talk a little fireplace safety and also kind of talk about what to look for if you're interested in a stove for your fireplace, direct vent, indirect vent. And we'll chat all about that with Jeff when he joins us at the 12:30 mark. But in the meantime, we have your calls, and we'll start with Keith. Keith, welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Glad to. Gary, one day I was listening to you talking about a product that you could use in a shower that you spray it on or mop it on, and you just leave it on there all night long, and then you just wrench it out. And you said that you don't have to get in there and scrub your elbows off and bloody your fingers trying to keep your shower clean.
Well, that's all true, Keith. And what it is it is designed to be a real maintenance product. So if you've got one that's a little bit of a disaster right now, you might need something stronger to get that clean. Now, it takes care of hard water stains. It takes care of mold. But it gets to a point where, you know, it's limited to how much it's going to take care of. But we use it at our house every week. And we spray it on. And we forget about it. And it's called Wet and Forget Shower. So Wet and Forget Shower, again, once a week. You spray it, gets rid of hard water stains, molds, mildews, all that gunk we got to get out of our showers. You let it sit overnight. In the morning, just with your shower head, just rinse it real good because it's kind of slippery in the morning. And it's a great maintenance product. It really is.
Where do you get that at?
You can get it at Lowe's, you can get it at Menard, Ace, Do It Best hardware stores. A lot of hardware stores carry it.
Okay, so just Wet and Forget.
That's it.
Okay, I picked up a product called Rejuvenate, and I haven't used it yet, but we don't let the shower get to the point where it's, you know, where it's growing penicillin in or anything like that.
Good.
I keep it scrubbed out, but it just keeps coming back. You know, in a short amount of time, you got to be right back in there scrubbing it out again.
Right.
And I thought if there was something I could put on there on a weekly basis to kind of catch it before it gets too bad, it'd make my life a whole lot better.
That's right. And I'm not familiar with that Rejuvenate product. It may be very good. I'm just not familiar with it. One thing it sounds like you may need, and maybe you have it, sounds like you need a ventilation fan in that shower too, Keith.
I've wondered about that.
Yeah,
It's a small walk-in shower in our master bathroom.
Right.
And we've got a tub. We never use one of those big jacuzzi tubs.
Right.
I've been toying with the idea of taking that out.
Right.
And just turning that into a huge walk-in shower, and then taking the little shower and turn it into a cedar closet.
Yeah. Yep. I'll tell you what we did in ours. We had pretty much the same arrangement. And I took out the big tub and everything, and I was going to have a big shower. And a couple people had advised me not to make it too big, because when you have the shower going, you know, it heats the space of the shower.
Yeah.
And
that's
so
true.
I made it a little bit bigger. Love it. Took out that big tub we never used. I got a freestanding tub. In fact, if you go to signaturehardware.com, there's about 700 different bathtubs, and it's freestanding.
Yeah,
so I took out that big Saran and put this banana-shaped tub. It's awesome. But anyway, just and you know, create a little more cupboard space. That's a great idea. That's a project, though.
It sounds like it would be.
Yeah.
Well, it's had me to the point of thinking of trading houses just for the pain in the butt of going through all the construction work to do it.
Yeah, we ought to do a survey on why you move. I bet that could be one of them.
I think it probably is.
Yeah.
Thank you for the tip. I'm going to try that product.
All right, Keith.
Forget.
Wet and Forget.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Take care. Bye-bye. And Janice, welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
I am a wet and forget girl for sure.
Okay. All right.
First of all, I used it on my uncle's headstone at the cemetery when the gentleman from the company was on with you talking about that.
Right.
And it was this summer when it was really dry, but I did, you know, have to go back two or three times, but it's just like brand new now.
It's amazing what it does. And I get pictures all the time. People send me pictures of a headstone. They got the ready-to-use, and that's the ready-to-use wet-and-forget exterior, and they'd spray it, and they'd come back and send me a before-and-after picture. I'm astonished the way it cleans that up.
Yeah, it's just wonderful.
Yep.
Well, today on my garage roof on the southwest corner, about a 4x4 foot square, it's green, probably mold up there, and the sun hits that spot, but I didn't know if it's now too cold to spray the outdoor wet and forget on that.
No, no, it can be used year-round. You know,
okay.
You wouldn't want to use it if it's going to get snow-covered or something, but again, just as active in the wintertime, and then sometimes it might even be better because, as you said, you know, all the sunshine, the heat and everything, there's evaporation. And reading the instructions, it'll tell you to try to apply it on a cloudy day to minimize evaporation. Of course, this time of year, there's not much evaporation at all. And we still get some sunshine. We still get some rain. So, yeah, you can use it. It'll do the job fine.
Yeah, well, now that the trees have lost most of their leaves, you know, I think it might be a good time to use it, but I didn't know it's going to be in the 30s, so if it would work or not.
The temperature limitations won't affect that. You'll be fine.
Okay, great. I'll get the ladder out and have someone hold it for me and take off.
Be safe.
Thanks.
All right, Janice. You know, she did bring up one good point, and I just want to pass it on. Whenever you're doing anything outside, this time of year, please read the instructions. Whether it's a coating, whether it's a sealant, they have all these limitations on temperature, and you just got to be really, really careful. Let's grab Chris real quick, and then we'll take a break. Chris, welcome.
Hey, Gary.
Yes.
I got a question for you about some granite tiles we have in our bathroom.
Okay.
Countertop has 12-inch by 12-inch polished granite tiles on it.
Okay.
And we want to redo the countertops with marble tiles. Can I glue the marble right to those granite tiles?
Well, I guess you can. You'd use a construction adhesive, but you're going to increase the height of that.
Yes, we want to increase the
height. So I don't know if that's going to be detrimental. And you remember, marble's hard to clean. Keep that in mind, too. There's no acids can touch that. They have a tendency to stain also. So just so you know what you're getting into, that marble animal is a lot different than a granite animal.
Okay. Yeah, my wife and I had talked about that, and we really like the look of marble, so we're going to take our chance with that.
Yeah, so it could be glued on, you know, or even really even mortared on with a thin set, depends on how you want to install it, and then you know,
okay.
Grouting.
It's polished granite tiles. Will the thin set adhere to that?
Oh, that's right. You said polished. No, I'd probably use your construction adhesive on that.
Okay. Any one that you recommend?
I talked earlier about a Gorilla Glue construction adhesive that they make a good, better, best. Get the better one in the middle. Don't have to do any clamping. You got some workability with it, and probably use that one.
Okay. And one more question with our bathroom. We do have a jacuzzi tub in there that we actually use. My wife loves
using
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a like an almond color.
Uh-huh.
And we want to refinish it to a white color, you know,
right,
to match everything that we're doing. Mm-hmm. Is there a company we're in, you know, Medina, just by
You've got a really good one in Akron area. It's Miracle Method. This fella has a couple franchises. He's really one of the first. He's a fireman. and he started being a franchise of Miracle Method. I've seen his work. He does great, great work. I'd recommend
okay, so
you call them.
He's able to refinish the acrylic tub to a white
yes.
finish?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Great.
And it'll look awesome.
Okay.
All right. No.
Well, thank you, Gary. Appreciate it. I love your show. Listen to you all the time.
Thank you, sir. Take care. All right, John and Jane, sit tight. We'll take a little break. You're at home with Gary Sullivan right here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Let your voice be heard.
Assuming further down the line it's going to be a force that we have to be vaccinated or else.
Your voice on 55KRC.
All right, rolling our way through a Saturday. Thanks for joining me at home with Gary Sullivan. It's 12:21, and at the bottom of the hour, Jeff Kiefer from the Chimney Care Company. We're going to talk about fireplaces, chimneys, what's new in wood burning. So if you are maybe a novice at that, you just like to have the occasional fire around Christmas, nothing wrong with that. Let's make sure you're safe. Let's make sure you know what you're doing, and maybe you're trying to save on your energy bill. Maybe you're thinking about getting a fire, you know, stove or something along those lines. Jeff is very, very knowledgeable. Known Jeff for over 30 years, and that'll be at 12:30 today. All right, Jane, welcome.
Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. I have a water. I got a new water tank. Okay, December the 10th, 2019. It's 2 years ago, but 2 years old. Doing it on the 10th. I went down to put some Christmas decorations up, and I saw it's not leaking around the tank, but there's this here. Plastic, like pipe that hangs down, and it's open at the bottom, and there's some condensation coming out of there about a cup. So I wiped it up, and I put a aluminum tray under there. What is that from? Just condensation, or should I have them come out and check it out, or what?
Is that from the water heater, or is that from the air handler, the furnace?
No. This is on the water heater. It's next to the furnace, but this pipe is on the water heater. And it comes straight down, and it's open on the bottom.
Okay. Does it go all the way down to the floor or just about halfway down to the tank?
No, it goes all the way down to the floor almost. I had enough of room to put an aluminum 9x13 pan under there to catch the water so it don't go all over my floor.
All right. Well, you describe a condensation tube from a furnace beautifully. From a water heater, the only discharge pipe you should have from a water heater is called a temperature and pressure relief valve, which is either on the side of the
tank. Yeah, that's probably what that is, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
Is that probably what that is?
I don't know. Let me explain it and you tell me if that's...
Tank. Okay, and this thing goes all the way down almost to the floor. It's plastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's hooked onto the water tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw a little puddle down there, about a cupful. I wiped it up and put this aluminum pan underneath. Should I have someone come out and check that out and put the water tank in?
If you might want to. I mean, again, it's a temperature pressure relief valve, usually at the top of the furnace or the side or top of the water heater or the side of the water heater. When it gets too hot or too much pressure builds up, it clicks on, a little squirt of water comes out, it clicks close. All right, so it's doing its job, it's not faulty.
Right, okay.
If that's what it is. So if you follow that little tube up, you should find a little mechanism about maybe a little bit longer than the length of your finger. And it should have a little metal piece of metal. Like if you turned it, if you took that metal and you flipped it up, it would discharge water. It'd be hot water, so be careful.
I see, yes.
And or it's pointed down. So if you follow that pipe up and you find that valve, that's what it is. But make sure that's what it is because... The way you described this to me, this sounds exactly like a condensation pipe off a furnace, and that would just be condensation, and that could just be clogged with a little slime and stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay. Because it's brand new, Right. And like I said, I don't have any moisture around the tank itself. Right.
But it's doing its job.
Area there.
Yeah, it's
pardon me.
It is doing its job. It is designed to discharge water if the water pressure inside that tank gets too high.
Okay, very good. Because it's brand new, you know. I know things don't last that long nowadays like they used to. My other water tank, I think I have it 16 years.
Well, it's certainly not broken. If you want to have somebody check it, go ahead and do that. But follow that plastic tube up and make sure that valve's there.
Okay, I will. Right. Oh, thank you so much, Gary. I enjoy your show so much. Oh, here, I wanted to ask you another thing, too. What was the name of that stuff for the cemetery stones?
It's called Wet and Forget Exterior. It comes in a ready-to-use bottle. For what you're going to use it for, that's what you would get. Wet and Forget Exterior. All right, Jane, thank you much. We'll get to John. John, welcome.
Hey, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes your knowledge amazes me with all the things that you know. It's just life's work, I guess.
It's just minutia, John.
Yeah, buddy. I started ripping up carpet the other day in my house we've been in for 20 years, and I noticed there's some really nice hardwood floors under there.
All right.
There's some areas, though, that are not so nice.
Okay.
Is there, and also I'm wanting to, if I do a total refinish on them, I know, you know, where to go and what to do. Mm-hmm. But is there a product out there to where I could go in and, like, spot through areas, like a high traffic area that's got some wear in it, and the low traffic areas, which is the majority, doesn't look bad. Mm-hmm. In fact, it looks great. I mean, yeah. I'd hate to do anything to it, if you know what I mean.
Right.
But is there a product out there to where I can pick and choose the areas that I would like to do?
Yeah, it really depends. I mean, if it's just areas that are summer worn, some areas aren't, how I can make them look, you know, more universal. The real question is, does there need to be pigmentation added to the wood? Okay. So that's the big question. Once you get into, well, it's to really make it look good, it's going to have to be stained. Then you're into a whole refinishing. Okay. But a lot of times, if you can maybe just dull the surface of the full floor and you put a urethane over it, it can actually make those areas that look worn pop. So here's a little tip. If you take a little bit of water, just a little bit, you know, maybe a half a cup or even less, take a paintbrush and just wipe some water over that area that looks a little worn and just see what happens. Does it bring back the coloring or does it still look like it's kind of worn? If it kind of brings back the coloring, you might be able to get by with a product like Bona, which is a wood floor conditioner. They make a cleaner, and then they make a conditioner, which just...
What was that brand again?
Yeah, Bona, B-O-N-A.
Got it.
And that may work, or just getting a buffer and taking like a 2-aught synthetic disc on there and just buffing over the whole surface and maybe just applying a satin urethane on there, that may do it. But if
will the urethane give me a waterproof protection? Like,
yes,
you know, if there's a spill.
Yes, yeah. And you'd probably want to do two coats.
Right.
But again, if it's so worn that the pigmentation is just kind of worn out of the wood, you're probably going to have to redo the floors.
Gotcha. And one last quick question about
that.
Some of the boards, you know, it looks like they, you know, put it down in a bit of a hurry, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Either maybe they weren't planning on the floors being hardwood.
Right.
But there are some gaps that are just slightly, you know, maybe more than I want to live with. Is there something that I could fix that with? Any ideas?
Usually what a good floor company will do is they'll make their own mixture. There's not really anything you're going to get in a can, to be honest with you. Don't use those pigmented putties. You want to stay away from that. What they'll do is they'll use some glue and some sawdust and even a little bit of stain. They'll make their own patch. For the person that's going to do it themselves, I usually tell people either stay away from it or get a pro in there to work on that.
Gotcha. That makes sense. That makes sense. Because yeah, I can see where you could possibly end up with, you know, more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times you'll just bring a bigger attention to the problem, and those things dry out, and they crack, and they, you know, crumble. It's an ongoing issue. All right. Appreciate the call, John. Thank you. And coming up next, Jeff Kiefer from the Chimney Care Company. We're going to talk about building a fire, safety with your chimney, different types of stove inserts. We'll cover the gamut for the next half hour, all right here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Fuller Information Technologies, Saturday nights at 7 on 55KRC, the talk station.
All right, back at it we go. Jeff Kiefer, as I said, would be our guest. He is with the Chimney Care Company right off Ward's Corner Road in Loveland. And Jeff, welcome again to At Home with Gary Sullivan. I think it's about 30 years we get together and talk about our chimney and fireplace.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're both getting a little bit older.
Yeah, just a little bit. Not much, though.
So, yeah, hey, you're not kidding.
Overall, how is the fireplace industry doing?
We are slammed, I think, nationwide. Most of the manufacturers are way behind in delivering product because it's been quite a couple of years. I mean, people being home,
right,
working on projects, it's pretty incredible.
Well, Jeff, so, if no other industry is in the middle of a perfect storm, the chimney and fireplace business has got to be the perfect storm. I mean, you've got all kinds of things. People home getting more involved in projects. That's number one. There's all kinds of issues with distribution. That's number two. Then number three, we get, you know, news out a month or two ago. I started talking about a heating oil, 30-40%, natural gas, propane, 30-40%. For people that haven't reacted yet, they're going to react. And I know it's insulation, ventilation, and fireplaces. I mean, that's what happens every time we go through this.
You know, we've been around long enough to see some cycles. And
right.
It's funny, about 6 weeks ago, we started seeing a lot of people coming in looking for alternative ways to, you know, heat their homes and heat the area where they live. So
yeah.
if we were mostly gas before that. Now we're definitely spiking on wood and pellets.
Oh,
so, you know, we've seen the change, but, you know, I've lived through this many times, it seems like. But not price jumps for propane and fuel oil and we're expecting.
Yeah, well, I think when you and I first started talking a long time ago, we were just going from a cycle from wood stoves and pellet stoves. I mean, we had gas increases, and we started having that conversation. So we need to revisit that. If somebody thinking right now of alternative, and then we'll get to safety, but alternative heat sources for our homes based on prices of energy, kind of give me a course on what's new in wood stoves and what people should be looking at, and even dabble a little bit in pellet stoves.
Well, we've got a lot of people with just open wood-burning fireplaces that want to now get some heat from it. And so for a long time, we've been doing a lot of gas inserts, but now they're coming in. If they've got access to the wood, that they're converting these things over to wood burning fireplaces that will, I mean, go anywhere from 60 to 80,000 BTUs and heat almost the whole house. So the energy costs being on the rise have definitely pushed people, especially with a lot of our customers with propane or fuel oil in the area where that's what their house is. And the electric is supposed to go up as well. So they're doing a lot of the homes that are all electric.
A lot of the
fireplace inserts these days, they went through a couple stages of EPA certifications, and they are clean burning. But along with all the changes that have been required, the prices of gone up since we started back in the 80s.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, now your average install for a wood stove with a liner system, all that is anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000. So it's definitely an investment, but you are definitely going to get your money back out of it pretty quickly in the turnaround with,
sure.
You know, a fuel oil tank costing us $700 to fill every, you know,
yeah,
couple
no
months.
No kidding. If somebody has a gas fireplace, can those all be converted to wood, or are there different ones people need to be mindful of?
The gas, if they've got an actual direct vent gas fireplace, they're most likely not going to be able to convert that. But if it's a masonry chimney that just has gas logs in it, that they're going to be able to convert that over pretty quickly. So, you know, we've had a fair amount of people putting freestanding wood stoves in their homes where they've got the room, they've got a corner, they're wanting to heat the house, and I just loaded up one of our 500-pound soapstone stoves to a customer a little bit ago. So,
wow.
There's some options out there to heat your home. And, you know, some of the soapstone and cast iron stoves these days, they look like pieces of furniture. They're not like your old.
Oh, they're
stove
gorgeous. I've been around so long, I remember the Ben Franklin stoves.
Yep. Now, the one we just were looking at today, we just did the install, was a basil green cast iron stove. Just gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
So, you know, matched the gentleman's rookwood tile. So that's what he's leaning towards. So,
Jeff, if I'm, you know, a listener right now and I got a gas fireplace logs and I don't know if I can burn wood or not burn wood, how do they find out? You know, because that's the first step, right? Find out what your chimney or fire, you know, can handle. Where do they
process? Exactly. I mean, even if you don't think you need your chimney swept, you want to consider getting it evaluated.
Okay.
You know, at Chimney Care, we do the evaluations, the guidelines set forth at the National Fire Protection Association. There's three levels of inspection, and we're usually always recommending starting with one and a video camera to check out the entire system. Mm-hmm. From top to bottom. It just gives your customer and the peace of mind in knowing what's there. We have a lot of people that love to sit there and watch the camera going up, you know, on the monitor, and can check out what the interior of the chimney looks like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once that's determined, you know, what it can or cannot be, then you can start shopping for what you want. And that brings another question is, you've been in this business a long time. Your people are certified. You got to be dealing with somebody who knows what they're talking about, right? I'm always very nervous about, you know, people buy these things online now. They go to a local place that doesn't have the expertise. That could be problematic.
Yeah, the bottom line, we have a commitment for education for all our employees. We've got certified chimney professionals. That's a certification. We've got fire certifications. We've got National Fireplace Institute certifications. We've got National Chimney Sweep Guild certifications. Mm-hmm. Our guys are out there, and, you know, that's what I tell people around the country when I'm talking to them, you know, just try to find someone who – they've got some type of certification out there. They're looking for it. We're really pushing towards the National Chimney Sweep Guild because it's in the process of becoming ANSI certified, which is really the highest standard that you can get. So, you know, you want someone that's not only been around for a while, but,
right.
You know, you can see they've got a commitment to education.
Yeah. Well, so very important it is. And What's a pellet stove? We talked about wood stoves. What's a pellet stove?
Well, a pellet stove burns recycled fuel in the form of a little pellet. I tell people, if they've never had any concept of it, it looks like rabbit food, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just little things that it's sawdust. It's self-feeding. It can run on a thermostat. It can start itself. And they generate anywhere between about 30 to 50,000 BTUs and are great for, you know, we put a lot of them in lower living spaces to where people have their media room and all that. It takes the chill off. They're not cranking their furnace up, you know, to heat the basement. We have a lot of people that are now starting to buy them because they want to burn something that is environmental friendly. And the venting on these, it can vent horizontally. You're not having the cost of the chimney. So which is a big thing.
And so if I had a maybe gas log thing and it wasn't conducive for a wood stove, could a pellet stove go there?
It definitely could. We have done that several times here recently, just because people want that. They want the heat. They don't want all the air, the heated room air going up the flue, and they want to add the heat to the room. So, you know, it's a lot of it's about comfort, you know, and
sure
if you can heat the room and you do it economically, it's great for our clients when they're putting those pellet stoves in. And that could be a fireplace insert or a freestanding that, you know, sits in the corner, and you can put 80 pounds of pellets in some of those things and hook it to a thermostat and let it burn for the week.
What's the flame look like? I mean, is it in those pellets? Do they drop in a tray or something? Or
yeah, there's a couple of different methods that are out there for that, but it looks kind of like a large torch. So it burns up through the. You can put an actual log in there, so it looks like. But most of our customers just looks like a torch, and heats up. You have the ambiance of the flame, but you just don't have. You're not feeding it wood all the time.
Interesting. So I see the growth on that. Sometimes with a wood stove, building a fire, it challenges some people. Is there anything that's making building the fire a little bit easier with these wood stoves?
Well, I'll tell you what, Gary, what we do when we have a customer that's call us and saying, hey, I'm having a smoking fireplace or something like that, we can come out and do the evaluation. But one of the things we always start with is we bring our own wood that we know that is actually seasoned. the simplest trick that I've told people over the years is go out and get a moisture meter.
Yep.
You sell them in the shop. You stick it in the wood, and if you're looking for 15 to 25% moisture content, that's seasoned wood. You won't believe how many times we go out, and people are trying to burn green wood. And so, it takes away all the energy just to get the stuff ignited finally.
Yeah.
That's where we start.
Yeah.
And you know that.
Yeah. You drop a log, and if it goes thug, that's not seasoned. If it goes ping like a baseball bat, you're probably in luck.
You're in good shape then. So.
Hey, Jeff, if you don't mind, hang on. I want to spend a little time not trying to scare people, but just making sure they're safe during the holidays. I know people always, if they only build a couple fires a year, they're going to build them in the next month. So if you can kind of coach us through that as we continue. Jeff Kiefer, my guest, the Chimney Care Company, and you're at home with Gary Sullivan right here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Brian Thomas, weekday mornings at 5 on 55KRC and online at 55KRC.com.
All right, back at it we go, keeping you safe this holiday season with the fireplace. After all, folks, you got an open fire inside your home, and that's why we have Jeff Kiefer from the Chimney Care Company talking about some of the stoves, apparatuses to create heat and ambiance in your home. But safety's got to play a key point here, doesn't it, Jeff? I mean, you talked about the wood. That can even be a safety prospect. If you're burning wet wood, that's not good for your chimney.
No, it's not. Yeah. So, yeah, you'll build up more creosote. So, you know, chimney inspections are definitely important, especially if you're new to your home.
Right.
You know, you start with that, you know. But if you've been burning, get someone out there to service it, whether it's wood or gas. Both of them, you can end up with some pretty major issues. And one of the things that, you know, I've been listening to you for a long time, you always say take a walk around the house.
Right.
I would say take a walk around the house and look at the top of that chimney, if you know, for a wood burning. If you see ivy growing up over the top, mm-hmm. you want to get that down. We've had people say, well, I have a chimney cap, and they look up there, and there's no cap longer than the neighbor's yard, a couple yards over. You know, we recently had a pretty unique one where there was a burning bush because the customer's butterfly bush had grown right through the vent cap on a gas fireplace on the side there. And when they were heating it up, it caught the bush on fire. So the neighbor called the fire department. And yeah, so there's, you know, it's worth a little 5-minute walk around the house just to, you know, check that. If you're going to set a ladder up, please be careful. That's one of the things.
Well, I use this analogy a lot. And I know with the real estate market being like it's been for the last year and a half, there's a lot of new homeowners. Anything that goes up for sale seems to get sold. Younger generations are buying into homes now, starter homes, a lot of older neighborhoods with fireplaces, some coal-burning fireplaces that maybe you can't burn wood in, and they don't know that. Or, you know, I know when I got my first home with a fireplace, I could not wait to build a fire. I mean, I was so excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
And just don't do that till you have the chimney inspected, because it happens on this show. Somebody's asking, I said, well, you just moved in. Did you have the chimney inspected? No, the home inspector looked at it. I'm going like, so they don't do an in-depth view of the chimney, do they?
No, they don't. In fact, okay. I've done classes for a lot of home inspectors. So they're, and usually they're going to refer, if you actually read that 20-page report, they're going to refer that you get it inspected by, you know, a professional.
Right.
And, you know, that's where we come in there. I mean, I can't look through, you know, just with my eyes, a, you know, 25-foot tall chimney and tell you everything that's going on. That's why we use the state-of-the-art video camera systems to inspect the interior. And especially, just for the fact that you have a benchmark that you move in and now you know what the condition is. You have it cleaned and you can move on from that point. Mm-hmm. But, the things that we've found in, you know, chimneys are just amazing that people will shove up in there. So before you build that first fire, you want to definitely get it checked out. So.
All right. Well, that's great advice. Now, let's switch gears real quick. A guy that is not burning a fire, doesn't have gas logs, doesn't have a wood burner, has got a warp damper. That room is the coldest room in the home. Can you block off a chimney?
Oh, yeah. And or even to make it useful for the future, we've got top sealing dampers that seal it off 100%.
Okay.
And so that just mounts the top chimney, has a high-temperature silicone gasket, and will solve the problem of a cold, drafty, you know, fireplace.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Your typical damper is cast iron and steel, which doesn't seal 100% no matter
right.
what. So anything that, I mean, you're talking some significant energy costs if you can seal that flue up there. Now, you can't put those on with gas logs, but you can definitely put them on for something that's not being used or occasionally want to be used by the customer for wood burning.
Is glass doors in the fireplace business still a big deal?
Yes, they definitely are. I mean, that we carry a couple different lines, and I remember when they're not the old brass glass doors anymore. I mean,
right.
There's literally 40 different finishes. There's some
piece of furniture.
Metal that looks like it's been hand hammered. There's some gorgeous choices out there.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people that just want to update their doors. And so they come in and, you know, we can get them some custom doors made to whatever style they want to, and whatever
sure.
color, whatever color glass, whatever type handle. There's a lot of different choices in that. In fact, one of the things, it can be overwhelming how many choices there are.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a showroom. It's on Ward's Corner Road. People come in anytime, take a look at kind of what you got to offer. I know you got a huge selection.
Yeah, we certainly do. We've got, I think, about 15 or 16 appliances in there that are burning. So we always say it's the hottest place in town. So
even in July.
Even in July.
I know, let's
see. We have wood, pellet, and gas burning right now. So it's definitely keeping you warm.
You know, whenever I talk about fireplaces, chimneys, always, you know, obviously one of the things that protect is a fire in our home. And I know you guys do a great job of inspecting chimneys. Also, you do clean dryer vents, and that's another thing that people have to keep maintained, or you can overheat that dryer and that can cause a fire.
Exactly right. You know, it's just about everybody has a dryer. So an obstruction of any kind, you know, can start that lint building up. And this is kind of funny, but we've found a lot of critters in dryer vents recently.
Really?
A nice warm spot. They get, they come right in through that little flap, or they'll chew through it.
Yeah.
And if your dryer stops working really well, there's usually a reason for that.
Sure.
So, you know, getting that checked out. And that can be done, you know, almost annually.
I totally agree with that. I know mine's real short. It's easy to do, but some of residences and condos, that dryer vent may go, you know, 20, 25 feet, and it may need some help.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we run into a lot of.
So you do the dryer vents, you do the chimney clean, you do the chimney inspections, you got the stoves. Gosh, it was good talking to you again. Again, it's the Chimney Care, and give me all the extra stuff. Fireplace and stove shop.
Fireplace and stove shop, so that people know that we sell them. So
we're, and you do, and well. You sell a lot of them, and you got great expertise right on Ward's Corner Road in Loveland, Ohio. Jeff, thanks again. Have a great holiday season.
You too. My pleasure.
All right. Take care. Jeff Kiefer, great guy. Good company, too, man. Talked to him for a long time. All right, Joe Strecker, you're actually going to get the afternoon off. What do you think about that? Pretty good stuff. Thanks for all your help. Thanks for everybody listening. Good Lord willing. We'll be back tomorrow morning for more At Home with Gary Sullivan.